We came with a challenge. Who would be the most intriguing Australian we could find? Not somebody famous or a household name. Who would be the most intriguing Australian we could find in Atlanta? I reckon we've got him. Matt McFadden. Matt, welcome to SEN.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so let's step through this a little bit, shall we? When you were 22, what was your grand adventure?
So at 22, I set sail on a 43-foot yacht from my home port of Sydney at the time. And our goal was to sail across the most dangerous ocean on the planet, the Great Southern Ocean, to Antarctica, to Sir Douglas Mawson's hut at Commonwealth Bay, which we successfully did. Obviously, some trials and tribulations along the way. And that kind of sort of set me off into this world of adventure.
That's a pretty madcap idea. How did you come up with it?
Well, I think I was young and naive, to be honest. But I met a gentleman by the name of Tony Mowbray, who was a solo round-the-world yachtsman, an Aussie from Lake Macquarie. And he came up with the idea and broached the subject to me, would I be interested in sailing a yacht to Antarctica? And as a 20-year-old, when the project was put to me, I kind of went, absolutely. Not really knowing what it was going to undertake and obviously how scary and dangerous it could be.
And it was. There was a moment of really sheer terror, was there not, on the journey?
Yeah, obviously that part of the world is just renowned for horrific storms, but there was one in particular where we were, close to, not making it home. So went through some pretty rough moments, probably the worst thing in experience I've ever had, but without a doubt, probably the best experience, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So how close? How close to death were the five of you?
Saying goodbye to each other, making promises about looking after kids if people lived and others didn't. So that real right at the very end and sort of sitting there waiting for it to happen. But, lucky enough and it didn't, and we were able to get through it together and, get home and start to, I guess, have a very different outlook on life as a young 22-year-old at the time.
Yeah, it's a big reality to confront. So just in that moment, what changed? Was it weather? Was it treacherous? What was it that you were facing that eased or you were able to get through?
It was the understanding that there was only one thing left in our control, and that was to fight. Everything else was out of our control. The waves were enormous. The conditions were completely against us. But I still had the capability to get up and to fight and not just sit there and wait for it to happen. And it was interesting that all happened to all five of us around the same time. We didn't talk about it. And then we sort of rallied and banded together to say, let's get home.
Was Mawson's hut worth it?
Yeah, I mean, it was. If somebody offered me a position on a 43-foot boat tomorrow from Sydney to Antarctica, I'd probably say no. But yeah, absolutely worth it because, here I am here now and I've been lucky enough to, make my living from, the adventure world for the best part of the last, 15 years.
So over in America, you're a much sought-after speaker around teamwork, around adversity, around motivation. So it begins when you're 22, and then what are your adventures in the midst of that, which then lead you into this part, this reality, where you tell your story around the world?
So the idea, sailing in the ocean was my passion, but after that trip, I vowed never to go back to sea again because the waves scared me. So I decided to attempt to become the youngest Australian at the age of 23 to walk to the geographical North Pole. Now, the reason I did that was technically I'm still at sea because it's the frozen Arctic Ocean, but because it's frozen, I don't have to see the waves. So I was lucky enough to accomplish that. And then I've been really, really fortunate to be able to go back on two more occasions. The most recent expedition I did was a couple of summers ago, summers for the Northern Hemisphere. I spent 44 days in a 17.5-foot rowboat and rowed across the Northwest Passage in the Canadian Arctic.
Just because?
Yeah, it's again, these things all seem like a great idea in the warmth and comfort of home. The reality kicks in pretty quickly, and that one was tough. That was really tough.
When did you realise you had a story that people wanted to hear, and particularly here in the States?
Look, it came to me, I was chatting earlier to your producer before and I was saying that no one ever told me at school that you could make a living as a professional speaker.
Yep.
It's not, but it came pretty quickly. People wanted to hear the story. People wanted to hear, you know, what we went through. And then obviously over the years, it's morphed into, obviously I tell my story, but really how does it relate to both people on a personal level, but also on a professional level? And I guess why I'm able to make my living from it is I don't go in and talk to you about how to revolutionize your business, because at the end of the day, I don't know your business well, but I really challenge people to look at their life and, you know, how they can be the happiest and healthiest out of the office and happy and healthy in the office. So those two things are really intertwined, and I've been really fortunate enough to move over here almost a decade ago and get to travel around the world and you know, and share my story and my experience.
You've lived here in Atlanta. So typically, who do you go and speak to? Who brings you in?
Look, again, it really varies, you know. So I work a lot with, you know, a lot of Fortune 100 companies, but then right through to, you know, the most random of associations, you know, the Undertakers Association of North America, or, you know, just people that, you know, that come together as an organization and a team come together for a convention or a conference every year and look for somebody that brings something unique that's different to their business and how they can start to, you know, maybe live a little bit vicariously and look at their role and their business and themselves personally and, you know, maybe do things a little bit differently.
Do you still have fresh adventures on the go? Do you have challenges in your mind?
There's always, you know, things going on in my mind. I think as you get a little bit older, I got married a couple of years ago, so I think it becomes a little bit more difficult to say to my wife here in Atlanta, say, I'm just going to go out there for, you know, 60-odd days, and I might not come home, so is that cool? But I think, you know, my life is all about, you know, adventure in a way, and I think there's, you know, that word adventure is a broad term. So whether it be doing things that are, you know, that are a little bit safer than what I did when I was a lot younger, but definitely, you know, always have the ideas to do some cool stuff.
What sort of town is this like to live in when you've lived in Atlanta?
Yeah, so I've been here about just on a year. So my wife and I were in New York for the last 3 years, and I did my first 5 years in San Francisco. This city is fantastic. It really is. It's such an up-and-coming city. It seems to be growing, you know, constantly in the year that I've been here. There's a lot of expats from all over the world and the US that are coming here. You know, business is booming down here. It's really exciting, and obviously to be here for, you know, Super Bowl week is just incredible.
So is it it's not a pretty city. It is a hospitable city, that much is quite clear. It's got some southern charm to it.
Yeah.
So how would you describe it?
I think it's probably people's best foray into the south.
Yep.
So it's not the most southern city that you'd go to, but you're close enough to that. I mean, I think from a geographical standpoint, you know, you're 3 or 4 hours from some of the greatest southern cities, you know, this country has to offer. So I think for people coming here, you'd get a really nice, you know, introduction to the South from, you know, the people, the culture, the food, all of that, but not fully deep in the South as you can be in a couple of hours from here.
How often do you get home?
Look, I try to get home probably once every year, 18 months. Obviously, living east or southeast now, it's a long way. You know, being based in the US, you're never short of people coming to visit you,
yeah.
Which is always good.
So tell me, from the first expedition as a 22-year-old, the four people you were with, do you remain in contact with them?
Best friends.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and the way that I describe it is not best friends in a way that I see and speak to them on a weekly basis, but having that shared experience and something that we went through like that, I always use the analogy that if, you know, I was walking down the street of Atlanta and I ran into one of them, we'd have our arms around each other, probably in tears, and then probably go and have a beer together within, yeah, you know, a matter of minutes.
Are you going to the game on Sunday?
Unfortunately, not to the game. There's a lot of other activities going on around the city, but if you're offering a ticket, I'm more than happy.
I can't do that, unfortunately. What about, have you got any formal gigs this week?
So I've got a couple. There's a few events happening with a bunch of Australian executives that are over here. So I've got dinner tomorrow night, and then on Friday lunchtime. So hopefully sharing a little bit of insight into, you know, my background, my life, and obviously living here and as an Aussie.
Well, we were determined to find somebody, an Australian who lives in Atlanta, who had a different story to tell other than why we're here around the Super Bowl. So, Matt, it's fantastic to meet you and good on you.
Oh, I'm glad you found me. Thanks for having me.